A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.
I'm Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and we're having a night in.
And I'm joined by my very dear friend and muso extraordinaire, Mickey Steed. Welcome, Mike.
Hello, Nick. How are
you? How you been?
I'm not bad.
Good to see you, man. Saturday night.
Lovely to see you in your den, mate.
Yeah, it's
I love
a bit of a den.
I love those plaster ducks. They're no, they're fabulous. I love them.
Coronation Street chuckouts.
Yeah, a bit of a Hildren stand yeah, going
when,
on.
When they revamped the old place, I just picked up the ducks. Jean Alexandra, what a class act.
Wasn't she?
Oh, wow. I loved her in Summer Wine.
Bernard Eunice, wasn't it? He was Stan. His name was Bernard.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know
he was
that.
Great as well.
Cool, bloody hell, no.
But yeah, no. What was her name again? Alexander?
Jean Alexandra, yeah.
Did you ever hear her speak for real?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yeah, very, very naughty dog.
Yes.
Very. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how we've got here already.
No. Well, it's great to see you, mate.
It's
so glad you came along. And I know you've had a bit of a long trip.
It's worth it.
To come and do the show and spend a bit of time, you know, Saturday night. It's getting cold out there, though.
It is getting cold.
Autumn's on the way.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
It's definitely on the way.
Few leaves on the ground.
Yes.
Know what I mean?
I like the seasons, though, Nick.
Yeah, I don't mind it, to be honest.
Yeah, I like that transition. I like that first breath of autumn. I'm
enjoying I'm ready for it this year, I am. I think the summer's been a bit of a bark, I think.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And up here it's been busy, I bet.
Yeah, it has around this kind of area. It's been stupid, you know, a lot of people, can't be dealing with people.
No.
Busy. Busy. Cars, traffic, tin everywhere, fuck that. No. Not for me.
1-0.
Not for me. Well, we're going to play some tunes tonight.
Cracking.
Going to play some of your favourite music.
Beautiful.
And, I've been privileged, obviously, when putting the show together. I've seen some of the stuff. You've got some crackers here, man.
Crackers. I think. Yeah.
And, well, actually, a lot of kind of connections to stories and that I'm sure you can tell as well. But one particular that I know here. And that's an Al Stewart track.
Ah, yeah.
Which I think we might open with that.
Okay.
To be honest, because I reckon that's, serious bit of music. But let's have a listen to Al.
This is lovely intro. Abbey Road, of course, 1976. Peter Wood on the piano.
Is it?
Not to be confused with Peter White, his guitarist.
Okay.
It's a completely separate bloke.
Right.
Peter Wood, who was a big session man in his day. Alan Parsons producing.
Yep. Great album. I bought this album, actually.
Yes, and what an album.
Yeah, brilliant. I don't have it anymore, but I did have it on vinyl.
Yes, right. I've only ever had it on cassette or CD.
Really?
Yeah. In the day, I was never much of a vinyl man. I had a cassette player.
Yep.
And everything I got used to be on cassettes.
Really?
Yeah, which is not a great way to listen to stuff, as you probably remember.
Well, I'm going
to
say, I did have both. I even had an 8-track for a short time.
Right.
That was a bit frightening.
Yes.
Yeah. Beach Boys Greatest Tits, as I called it. Great album.
Yeah.
But that was a monster of a fucking tape, that was, you know. The 8-tracks, they were stupid, weren't they? Stupid songs.
Yes. Yeah. I suppose good for in car, though.
Yeah. Or this was a bit of a kind of a vanny con car type of thing, you know, that I used to listen to it in. But this, I mean, when I knew that you'd picked it, it brought back memories of a rather terrible story, actually.
Oh, go on then.
That surrounds Al Stewart.
Oh, no.
On this particular night, Al Stewart played Cambridge Corn Exchange. And at the same night, I toyed with, in those days, you could literally just pick out the paper where you were going to go, working for a gig or
show.
This
is late 80s, Nick?
70s.
Oh, okay.
Early 70s. And Queen, who did go on to be rather big,
yes,
were playing on the same night as Al Stewart was playing the Corn Exchange in Cambridge.
Right.
Queen were playing the Town Hall in Peterborough.
Right.
3 weeks, I think, before they released their first single, Seven Seas Are Right.
This is 73-ish, isn't it? Yeah.
Somewhere around that kind of time. I couldn't remember, to be honest. And there was a big debate. Do we go to Queen or do we go to Al Stewart? We ended up going to Al Stewart, but we didn't get there because it was a motorcycle gig. And one of my mates hit a truck on the way just outside Peterborough and tore all the shit out of his arm. We ended up in A&E in Peterborough for the rest of the night. We missed both the bloody gigs.
No.
So I bought the album anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It is a cracking album. I mean, every track on the album. The first one I heard was I heard On The Border. And I'd never heard anything like him. And I thought, who is that Noel Coward kind of...
Yeah, vibe.
Yes. What is that all about?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd already got into bands and stuff with a little bit of bollocks behind it, and this is obviously not. It's a complete departure, and this song has followed me all over the world. I mean, wherever I've gone in the world over the years, this I always seem to hear this song.
Really?
Yeah. In a lift in Dubai, you're there for the
World
Cup Rugby Sevens-a-side Cup Final, and you get in the lift, and there's a load of great big fuck off New Zealand rugby players, and this is playing on the thing.
Really?
And, yeah.
Oh, just, wonderful.
It's everywhere, and I've heard it so many times in lifts, and I think that's a bit unfair because it's better than lift music.
Oh, God, man. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the whole album is wonderfully crafted and produced, isn't it? It's
yes,
a fantastic
it is.
Album.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Alan Parsons. He used the drummer that had played for Kate Bush and Steve Harley, Stuart McKenzie.
Really?
Yeah. Who's that guitarist? Apart from Peter White. Oh, it'll come back to me later. Top guitarist at the time doing that right now. He had the bass player out of Emil Ford and the Checkmates.
Good God.
George Ford. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he had quite an eclectic mix of musicians. Great musicians.
Wonderful, wonderful performer. No, fantastic track.
I wonder if this has kind of been a millstone around his neck because.
Did he do anything else?
Well, he's done so many albums.
Has he really?
Yeah, about 1978, after this, he kind of moved permanently to America, to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Time Passages was another big one.
Right.
And that was all recorded over there, but with Alan Parsons again, I think, behind the desk. But he never reached this again.
Yeah.
You know? And I always feel for people like that because... You and I get it more, but there's so many people out there go, Al Stewart, what, you're the cat?
I think
that's it, you know.
It's as we were talking earlier about, yeah, Gene Alexander, it's Coronation Street, isn't it? You typecast, you're in it, that's it. You'll always be Hilda Ogden.
That's what you are.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Auntie Wainwright in Summer Wine.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that at the end of the day?
It's all about your own state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it
for,
is.
Hilda Ogden, Gene Alexander, probably it's a smashing gig and I've got a job for life, or for 30 years, or whatever.
Worst way to pass
for,
your
for
time,
Kenneth Williams, say, it's like, why do I keep making these films that everyone thinks are hilarious, but I think are dodgy and rubbish and horrible and, you know. And I think he's a man that probably lived his life in torment because everyone, oh yeah, he plays those camp doctors and... He didn't want to be that. He wanted to be Othello and he wanted to be King Lear.
Yeah,
and it never worked out. You know.
Mind you, I love the Carry Ons, I do.
I do. I do.
Wonderful. Oh.
But he. Oh no, stop it.
You can't whack a good Carry
no,
On.
No, you can't.
You can't. No. Dear, oh dear.
No, absolutely.
Toilet humour and innuendo. Top bollocks.
Yeah, Charles Hawtrey, Kenneth Williams, Sid James.
Yeah, wonderful films. Wonderful films. That is such a good track. Seriously good track. But yeah, it brings it terrible memories of sitting in Peterborough District Hospital, A&E department.
No.
Emergency is an accident. As
the year of the cast.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was really weird because there was a stationary truck going through this village and this guy he was on the back of a mate of mine's motorcycle. And it was clearly obvious that this guy weren't going to get by this pissing truck. And he hit the truck and his arm got completely ripped to shreds going down the side of this rigid of this truck, the trailer bit of it. And it was a bit of a mess.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mess. It was a 5 o'clock job, you know. We kind of staggered back to, you know, Stangrand, which is where I lived then in Peterborough. You know, and Mum cooked us a full Monty, big fry up, as my mum always used to do. Wonderful. Terrific, man, terrific. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the opportunity here to introduce something that's a bit special.
Go on,
it's
then.
The cake of the show,
okay.
The guest.
Well,
and this is royalty, man. This is, and it's up there. It's up there with the Windsors, this bollocks.
It's not a bad really one, is it? It is a good looking cake.
Cooked by your gorgeous wife.
Suzanne slaved over a hot oven with it last night.
Dear, oh dear. I mean, it seems a criminal act to even cut into it, doesn't it?
To violate it. I
it
know
does.
What you mean. Yeah.
Violate it.
But she said, you're not going up the Nick's without a bottle of Pinot Grigio and some nice cakes. She
that
said
is
that.
Definitely so, mean.
Yeah.
It's mean. But I'm going to let you chomp it up because I don't do that kind of thing very well. So I think you're a man that's quite capable of carving into that cake and nogging us up a bit.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right, then.
So I'll leave that with you, darling. All right. Right.
Okay.
Wonderful. Dear, oh dear.
Oh, yeah, it looks lovely, doesn't it?
Oh, man, there's something very sexual about that cake, don't you think? I mean, cakes can be sexual, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Totally.
Mm. I'm going to give you a bit of Mick and Keith.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Very much of its time, this, but great sound, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I spent many hours listening to this album. Many hours.
Yeah.
And I think one of the Stones albums that, unless you're a real Stone fan...
can pass you by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if this was a good period for them. Could they have done this? Could they have sat in that cake while they were doing this? Or was it...
I think probably not, no.
Yeah,
I think it was, you know, they were punching up quite a bit, I think, weren't they?
I feel
Mick
that.
Mick and Keith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, at this stage. I think they still do, don't they? It's just not... It's kind of PR'd as much as it used to be. I know their touring gigs a bit strange. Yeah, they stop in different buildings,
yes,
don't they?
Yeah.
Of some considerable
That's
distance
a shame,
away.
That is a shame.
Mm.
If they can't piece something together, I mean, they're not the only couple, of course. Ever,
no.
That
no,
can't
it's,
do it. But
well,
probably going to come on another one.
I mean, you've got a lot
later.
Of stories yourself, haven't you? With many bands that you've
well,
been in.
Well, I have,
know.
But.
But
yeah.
We won't touch on that.
No.
You know, we'll keep it clean.
Let's slag off all the others.
Don't let's cause any fucking trouble. let's have a yard of the cake.
You caught me with a mouthful of cake then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cut it up, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little bit and we'll have a wedge.
Right, I'm with you.
Oh, stuff me backwards. That is serious shit, isn't it? Chuck it on there, man. Wonderful. Hey, I told you could do it. I would have chucked it all down your trousers. I'm not, just not got that kind of, you know,
okay.
Cut shit up bit very well. You all right?
Yeah, good as gold.
Ah, dear. Do you want a drink? Are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
Hey, sure? Now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a nog of this bugger.
Right.
Dear, oh dear. Oh, this is that.
Mm.
Mm. Okay, mate.
That works, doesn't it?
Mm. She'd make somebody a good wife, wouldn't she?
Mm, she would.
Eh?
I'm
Dear.
Not sure about all that white powder she's put on the top. But there you go. It seems to be sugar, but you just...
I had some friends round.
You'll get struck off, you will.
Oh, dear. Got to be dumb. Dear, oh, dear. Chuffing, oh, that's good, isn't it?
It really is lovely. Yeah, yeah.
I've got a bit of a thing about cake, Mike.
Well, I've noticed over the years, Yeah. Can't help but notice.
It's the food of rock and roll. Isn't it? Yeah. I think so. Now, I know that we have spoken about this many times, and that we share the same passion for what I believe is Status Quo's favourite and best album they ever did.
I'm completely with you on that.
Pile Driver.
Yes, absolutely. 1972.
Fantastic album.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful, wonderful album. I personally don't think it was ever bettered, but I know that you picked a very special track. Why?
I could have picked any of the eight, Nick. Any of those eight, really, because they're all winners. But this was just my first glimpse of Status Quo and the Pile Driver album was to see Paper Plane on Top of the Pops. It was the single, and it was just, and I must have been 14 or something, and I just saw them on the telly, and it was just, it really was a
life changer.
Arrow through the heart or something, if I can use that without being.
Yeah. No. Arrow through the fart.
Yeah. Without sort of giving the wrong meaning to it. I just thought, wow, that is something else. Look at that. Look at that cocky bastard in the waistcoat. Look at that. That is, you know.
Yeah.
That is Fonz. That's Fonzarelli in a completely different genre, but that is, you know, wow. How cool is that geezer? And that was it, really. Suddenly you buy the album and you realise, Christ, there's eight nuggets on this. I mean, the funny thing is, in retrospect, Rossi doesn't seem to rate that anymore. He said, oh, it's chaos. There's so much overspill because of the way it was recorded. They recorded at IBC in Portland Place and in a much more primitive way than the later kind of more precise things. But for me, that was the essence of the band.
I agree. I think for me, that was their time.
Yes.
I wasn't fortunate enough to see them in that period. I worked with them a couple of three times after that.
I was going to ask you, when were your Quo years?
Goodness me. Let me think about that. Some time ago, probably about 15 years ago, the first time.
So was it perhaps Matt Letley on drums?
I can't remember.
It was either Jeff Rich with a bubbly blonde shock of hair.
I think it was that guy.
Right, Jeff Rich. So guy. Probably late 90s in ongoing.
Yes, it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, it would. Or more kind of mid-90s, I would have said.
Yeah. He was there from about 86 to 2000.
And then I worked with him two or three times after that. And funny you should say that. I put it on specially for today. Memorabilia alert.
Go on.
I've got a pic from Rick Parfitt hanging around my neck.
Oh, mate.
Which he gave me.
Beautiful.
I thought you're going to do it. You're going to do it.
Absolutely.
Just had to bring it.
Cool.
So I thought, no, sling that on around the neck today. Game on. Lovely.
There's another relationship, Rossi and Parfitt. We were talking about Jagger and Richards, weren't we, briefly. But I do feel, I feel very sad that Rick's gone, obviously. But I'm also really sorry Francis is getting such stick about... Yeah. Well, about all things, like, why isn't it the Frantic Four anymore? Or, obviously, it can't be anymore, but why wasn't it the Frantic Four? Why didn't you carry that on beyond what they did, which I think was 2013 and 14? And then he said, enough and no more. And he's got such stick from all directions, as if it's my ball and I'm going home and I don't want to play. And
really?
It's unfair on him because in 1986, when Coughlin had gone, and Lancaster had gone, and it was Rossi and Parfitt plus whoever they bring in.
Yeah.
Rossi has managed to keep that afloat for 30 years. Mm. And probably his biggest hurdle to overcome, bless him, and I'm not talking ill of the dead, but, you know, Richard was no help in that. You know, Richard was never going to make that ship float. It's only ever going to be Rossi.
Yeah.
So he had all these problem people going off in different directions that he had to try and sheepdog into the pen,
and control the whole gig.
And it's as if now he's getting slated for all kinds of reasons, and I think it's such a shame.
Well,
it's such a shame.
Modern day media, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really
it is.
Or modern day music media, shall I say. But I'm going to play the track anyway now. I think we'll whack it on and have a listen.
That's great, isn't it?
Oh,
beautiful.
I've got to confess, it was never my favourite track off it. And the reason for that was that it was a commercial release.
It was 3 minutes of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 minute single.
Yes, yes. No, I agree with you. It was because it was the single. I got to see it on Top of the Pops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that
Big
thing,
Fat Mama beats it. And Don't Waste My Time.
Oh, serious. Yeah, yeah. Serious.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I worked on the Heavy Traffic tour.
Ah. Oh, Heavy Traffic was about 2002.
That was kind of when I did the most stuff, really. But I'd done the stuff before that.
Yeah.
And then I caught up with John Coughlan and met him probably 2 years ago at a festival in Wales. Lovely man. Top man. Yes. Absolutely lovely guy.
Yes. I think at the time when he parted company with him, which was about 81, 82, there were problems with him. He could get a little bit on the sauce and was perhaps a little bit difficult to deal with.
Oh, it was that gig, was it?
I just think that in later times that could have been patched up, and it would have been a good thing if it had been. But
do you know, he couldn't do enough. Couldn't do enough to help you. Really?
Oh, really? Yeah,
yeah. See, really top man.
That's not where he was previously. You know?
Really?
I mean, they were in Montreux, 1981.
Yeah.
To record the album that came out that was eventually called 1982. Rossi spent all day setting up the drums for him because he didn't have the patience for it.
Really?
He'd come in to sit and have a play on it and didn't like it and just kicked it all over the studio. And by that time, they had kind of finally said, that's enough now. I think, if truth be told, they were all a little bit scared of him as well.
Really?
I think. It's the impression I get.
Christ, like I say, it was only a short time, I've got to say, that I spent with him. But I thought he was a lovely guy.
It seems that way now, and he's got a smashing wife as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Jilly, I think.
Yeah, I think I've read.
She seems
met her
like
as
a lot
well.
Of fun, and yeah, yeah. And because he's got that, he's in that rich vein of. I mean, he's in a tribute band, if you like, but he's a real one. So
yeah, I mean, he's been out there doing a bit, and just recently.
I think he still loves it.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. I think it's great. But the sad thing is, I think Lancaster's not talking to Rossi anymore. That's all off again.
Dear, oh dear. But
that's all because of, why don't we do a third reunion tour?
Yeah, but they've done this, they did this acoustic thing, didn't they?
Yes.
Which I don't know, funny you should kind of talk about that. I mean, I got a friend who bought their acoustic album, and he said he really, really rated it. It was absolutely brilliant. It was really, really good. I've never heard anything off it.
I liked it, but I am a bit of a anal status quo collectionist.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, I did. Actually, no, I'll tell a lie. There's two acoustic albums. I bought the first one. I liked it. I haven't plucked up the courage to buy the second one. So perhaps I'm not too bothered about it. But it was interesting. But Parfitt never wanted to do that.
Really?
He was quite anti it.
Yeah, it's a strange
kind. I was lucky enough to get a friends and family ticket at the Roundhouse the night before the big BBC film run.
And
it was effectively a dress rehearsal for them with all their mates.
Yeah.
And a mate of mine that I went to school with, John Boltwood, who works for a publishing company that deals with Francis, Rossi and Bob Young, he was able to wangle me in.
Oh, nice.
So I got to see it and it was great, but Rick kind of forgot a lot of the words and I just felt as though he wasn't really in it. And it was interesting because you had John Edwards playing all kinds of different basses and ukulele bass. And
mind you, he must have been on well at that time.
This is about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not been right for a while.
No.
Had he? No. I'm saying he hasn't. He obviously he's
heart
not here.
Issues
but,
and what
yeah, yeah. And I think when Francis kind of toned it all down, he didn't.
Right,
and
okay.
That's the difference.
Right.
Rossi kind of put a stop to it all and went to the gym.
Ah.
And things like that, and was a little bit fed up about it. But has stayed with that lifestyle, and he's 68 and he's still here. Or 69, perhaps, and he's still here. And
goodness
me. I don't think Rick ever really kind of gave that up.
No, I didn't. I didn't really
that
know
lifestyle.
Much of the history of the whole thing, really. Because there's so many great tracks that you'd actually picked out. Again, another one of my major favourites, this one.
Oh.
I know you said you wanted to be Dutch.
Yeah.
So I thought we had to go out and have a drink and pay each other. I went to see this band.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I had a set of drumsticks from the drummer, actually, which I haven't got anymore. They got lost in the many moves that I'd had, but... God, wonderful, man. Fantastic.
I don't know anything about them except this track.
was essentially all they did. I think they did another single afterwards that didn't really chart, but this is just, it's a classic bass. A classic bass.
I mean, that there, that bass and drums, it's irresistible, isn't it?
Motorcycle track.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yes. Every bit, but, as much as Steppenwolf or anything.
And he's, I remember the drummer's kind of trademark, at the end of the show, he'd jump over the double bass kit.
Oh, right.
And he did it on this night, and the drumsticks just came out into the crowd, and we managed to grab them in the process. That's how I got the sticks.
Beautiful.
Oh, brilliant, man. Cambridge Corn Exchange. Can't remember. Can't tell you what year. No idea. I don't know what year this is.
73-ish, I'd say. Give or take 1 year. God, 73.
You've got hell of a bloody back catalogue of,
well, it's,
of information.
It's in my 14, 15, 16-year-old slot where this is, I was drinking all this in, you know.
Right.
The paper plane thing was an awakening, right? Before that, my sister watched Top of the Pops and I was just, it was on in the background. And, but,
really,
you know,
bad.
I had this kind of light bulb moment.
Right.
And the end result is I'm sitting here now eating cake and I'm a skint musician. So I've got a lot of people I can blame, including these.
A skint musician. Is there any other way?
No,
Oh, God, this cake, man.
It is lovely, isn't it?
Oh, dear. It took me all day to get through the first bit. Lovely. This was such a good track.
Oh.
I think they did do an album, I do believe.
No, I don't know anything about
them
except
one
this.
Album. And like I say, they did a follow-up single, which I think was quite a while after. And this is only by memory, I'm quoting this. It could be factually, seriously wrong. But they did do a second follow-up track, I think, which basically didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, well, there's a long list of those guys, isn't there? Bless them.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to have another glass of wine, mate, if you don't mind.
Have you, son?
Smash in.
Cash in.
Handsome. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so easy with the screw caps now, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
It's too easy.
Bloody marvellous.
Tell me, who was the most difficult person you ever worked with, Nick? Because there must have been a few of them.
I think it was two major disappointments. One of them was Chuck Berry.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Which was a hell of a shame.
I bet you were looking forward to that, weren't you?
Oh, God, yeah. Did he do some live stuff.
Did he ever play at West Rutland Pavilion years and years ago?
I think he did.
I wondered if you might have gone to that when you mentioned Chuck Berry.
No. This was going to be Cambridge, actually.
Right.
And
Festival War?
No, Corn Exchange. Must have been one of the very last tours he did in the UK, a full tour. But no doubt you know that he was legendary for going AWOL.
Yes.
Also for a few Tizers.
Yes.
And this particular night, I was due to do some live stuff, some editorial stuff, and then he suddenly went off the idea and pulled it. That's it, I didn't get to do it. And what actually happened was he'd gone AWOL in Cambridge and essentially the band was, you know, working in into the intro and Chuck weren't there.
Oh.
And then he walked on stage and he'd been driven from somewhere in Cambridge because he got lost by the police to the Corn Exchange, walked on, that's it.
Well, on there, but I thought you were going to say he'd met a new and special friend or something.
No.
But whatever.
He'd do that as well, wouldn't he?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
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 But yeah, that was a massive disappointment.
Well, I remember seeing a documentary, I can't remember if it was about Bruce Springsteen or about Chuck Berry now, but Bruce Springsteen, you know how he had that habit of just going around the country and picking up bands as he went along?
Yeah.
You know, ad hoc or whatever, ad lib, whatever the expression may be. And one night he was in New Jersey to do a gig and Bruce Springsteen and some of his mates were the band for the night.
Right.
And he turned up not long before the gig and they'd all been hanging around waiting and what we're going to run through and this, that and the other. And he just said, can you tell us what songs you're going to play tonight? You know, like, what's on the set list? And he just said, I'm going to play Chuck Berry songs.
That's it.
This one's in A. 1, 2, 3, 4. And that was it.
He was legendary for that, wasn't he?
Yes. I mean, what a bloke.
Nobody ever knew what they were doing.
But let's be fair, unreliable in all aspects.
Oh, wow. But that definitely would be one of the biggest disappointments, because, I mean, wow. John Christ, he started the whole gig, didn't he?
Yes.
And a lot of my kind of real introduction to rock music, and certainly rock and roll, came through that.
Definitely.
Listening to a lot of that, Jerry Lee.
Yeah.
And various different other bands that I used to spend hours listening with a friend of mine at the time. We spent days in his bedroom, man, just listening to rock and roll, you know. And it was a real shame when that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's how it goes.
Well, there is that saying, and there is a lot of truth, as there is in so many cliches. The problem when you meet your legends is that they turn out the...
It can be like that.
It can be,
can't I've got it? To say, I haven't had that kind of... many experiences like that, to be honest.
No, that's good.
Not where I've been disappointed. You're a right twat.
No,
definitely the people in the middle, mate. Definitely.
Yeah, yes.
People in the middle.
Yeah.
Big issues.
Yes, no, you're right.
It's
as if they've had that little bit of hype about them and they completely fall for themselves.
Yeah. That's the modern day kind of high vis equivalent.
Yes, it? Yeah, no, totally.
I've got a jacket you can see in the dark if you shine a torch on it, you know. Fucking strap up. Welcome to the UK.
Right, so there's Chuck Berry, and who was the other one?
Gary Moore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Gary Moore. Similar kind of story, but not where Gary Moore went AWOL or anything like that. But it was supposed to be to shoot the whole set throughout the show. And then he went off the idea literally before he went on.
Oh.
And I got one track.
Oh.
Which was the shortest Gary Moore track in the history of his back catalogue, I think.
So a 2.5 minute.
Yeah.
Not the full 8 minutes.
Which was a right bark.
Oh, mate.
But that would be it. They're the awkward. No, I don't think. Not awkward people.
Mm.
Like I say, awkward middle people.
Yes.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Full of their own importance.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Which is a real shame. But then in saying that, there's a lot of people, Mike, that are not like that.
Yes.
You know, that I haven't had any bother with at all.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Because it must be a joy. When it's good, it's got to be a joy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's, there's worse ways to pass your time. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, man.
I mean, if there's anything that beats having a guitar around your neck at times, which is fabulous, I mean, having a camera around your neck's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, like I say, it keeps me off the streets.
Yeah. Keeps you in red wine. Cheers.
Cheers, man. I have thought about going back now stripping and the pole dancing, but you know, it's not what it is. The bottom's fallen out of it. You know what I say? You seen the price of baby oil? Through the roof, man. Through the fucking roof.
No one wants a pole at their bottom, do they? No. Baby oil or not.
Oh. Are we back to Brexit? Is that
Stop it now.
I don't know.
Well, we've talked all through Sweet Gene Vincent.
We have.
Which is a fabulous little nugget, isn't it?
One of my very favourites, New Boots and Panties.
1977, 78?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, I did a lot of work with the Blockheads.
Oh, did
Wonderful.
You?
Yeah, shot some promo stuff, an album cover. Unfortunately, after Ian Dury, but then in saying that, it was just a total pleasure, the Blockheads.
Really. Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful band. I always thought that Ian Dury and the Blockheads, it could have easily been billed as Ian Dury, Blockheads, and join it in the middle, because they're definitely two parts of a whole, if
yes.
that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it
I
was.
Think so.
No, you're right. It absolutely was.
I think one of the cleanest, smoothest funk rock bands of all time, the Blockheads.
Yeah, totally.
Wonderful.
At that period in music where the whole thing had turned 180 degrees, and it wasn't about let's be Emerson, Lake and Palmer or Genesis or anything like that. Let's get trashy. And yet they came through that era with a kind of a punky, a new wave style, but
yeah.
it was played so beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, there was a rough edge to it, but it was superbly played, wasn't it?
I loved them. Absolutely loved them. And still never get tired of listening to any. But certainly Boots and Panties. Fantastic.
Yeah, what an album. Yeah.
Wonderful album.
Yeah. The piano player, I think, was Mickey or Mikey
Mick Gallagher.
I kind of got to know Mickey a little bit just because he still, as far as I know, still plays with the Animals.
Yes, he does.
I know it's probably a shadow of the former self of the Animals. I think there's only one animal left. But he seems very comfortable doing that as well.
Well, he was original member after Alan Price.
Oh, right. So after that's 60-something.
Mick Gallagher, they brought in
right
to replace Alan Price.
Wow.
And I remember Mickey telling us the story that, because he's from Newcastle.
Yes.
And he got the call. Look, I've got this gig. You're going to be down to London tomorrow morning or something like that with this band called The Animals. Are you interested?
Wow.
And I don't think initially he was that bothered.
Right.
But he's, okay, I'll go anyway. Got nothing else to do. So we went. Rest is history.
Yeah. He's in Essex now, Mickey.
Yeah.
We did a tour a couple of years ago. Marmalade and Tremolos did it and The Animals did it. And so we spent 2 or 3 weeks with him over there. But he was quite happy to talk about all those years.
He's a top man, Mickey.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Nice bloke.
Like I say, spent a lot of time with him. Very kind of educational, really, because he took me round to a lot of the kind of places where him and Ian used to go. They used to spend a lot of time together personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly when Ian was suffering from bad health and all this kind of thing, Mickey was the guy who really kind of looked after him, I think.
Right.
Until the latter end, which was Derek the Drawer, who was his initial kind of minder.
Yes, I get you.
Derek was. Another top man. And, you know, we went around various different places, actually on a recce to where we were going to shoot some of the promo stuff.
Sure, location.
Which we ended up shooting in Docklands.
Oh, right.
London's Docklands. In the rain. But it was great. It was great. But, you know, it was you learnt a lot about one of the bands that had been such an inspiration to me in the early days. I mean, I spent many hours listening to the Blockheads.
Yeah.
And certainly Boots and Panties.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, Rhythm Stick and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. But the whole vibe of what the Durian was all about, you know, the whole thing. But it really was one of those kind of moments for me where, bloody hell, I've just, you know, I'm going to work with the Blockheads.
Yes.
You know,
I can imagine.
This is heavy shit.
Wow, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it was just wonderful. I loved it.
Yes, of course.
But I'm going to play another track now, which is, again, has a special place for me. Fantastic album and one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. I think a bit Deep Purple.
This one leaps out the speakers, doesn't it?
Oh.
Still does now.
Yeah.
I still feel myself jump a bit when it... Fantastic.
Wonderful album.
When I heard this, it's about 1974, I think, Nick.
Yeah.
When I heard this, I hadn't really caught up with Deep Purple at all, right back to the In Rock days and Machine Head and Made in Japan, all that stuff that came before 74, I was unaware of it. So I kind of thought this was the full story of Deep Purple, really. You know, Glenn Hughes, David Coverdale and Pace Lord and Blackmore. But of course, I was missing the fact that, there'd been the Gillan and Glover lineup as well.
Yeah.
I liked this though. If I'm honest, I think I still like the Glenn Hughes, David Coverdale. I think it wins over In Rock even, for me. I'm probably in the minority there though, I don't know.
For me, it's the original lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely Made in Japan would be in my all-time top five albums by a long way.
Wow.
Definitely the best live album for me ever recorded.
Yes.
But Glenn Hughes, I'd spent a lot of time with Glenn Hughes over the last 10 years on and off, done a lot of stuff when he's over here in the UK, hooked up with him, probably about 3 years ago. Spent a bit of time and actually got a Glenn Hughes pick. I know that's a bit fanny, but you know, I had to have a Glenn Hughes pick. It had to be done, man. It had to be done, you know. And we spoke because Glenn Hughes changed my life. Him and the band Trapeze.
Trapeze, of course, yes.
Was the first big professional band that I ever shot.
Wow.
You know.
Were they all kind of Black Country lads?
Well...
Because Glenn Hughes isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they were. Mel Galley, and I'm trying to remember who the drummer was. Can't remember. But they played Peterborough Tech College. The first and one and only open-air gig that they put on at Peterborough Tech College in Peterborough, God knows how long ago, I don't know, early 70s. I just started in the business at the local paper, Peterborough Evening Telegraph. And I got this opportunity to...
Is that someone at the door? Have you got a bird coming around? You have, haven't you?
Couldn't stop the bastard.
We've got all sixes and sevens here.
All of it is. Bloody tis. Yeah, so, you know, and it was just wonderful, man. Life-changing time, wasn't it? God almighty, look. Fantastic. You know, I got a really, really good collection of images.
And they were nice boys?
Oh, top men.
That helps, doesn't it?
But, and also, that was the first real kind of feature that I had in the paper. So it was the first real printed image that I'd had, you know. And it was just
something to put on your your CV off or something.
I'm only a young lad at this time, and it was really kicking.
Fantastic.
Really kicking.
Wow, lovely.
But brilliant times, man. Brilliant times.
Yeah, I still love to hear this. The John Lord thing, that it's got that fabulous kind of medieval kind of Witchfinder General kind of image comes up when he plays those arpeggios and that on the Hammond.
Wonderful.
Ah, just brilliant. But it's a shame that this lineup did fold, didn't it, eventually? 1976, I think, did
something like that, I think.
I think Blackmore wanted to be off and said, I can't do this anymore, I like it vicious. And when I listen to that, I think, well, that sounds pretty vicious to me.
Yeah. You know? It's getting there, isn't it?
Yeah, what do you want, blood?
What do you want to do, pop? Or lose yourself somewhere? I don't know. Join a commune in Norfolk or something, you know? Sit there in a cheesecloth with a dog.
This bit is a killer.
Fantastic.
That's beautiful, isn't it? I could never tire of that. I don't care how long it's been.
I'm buying this album. Bloody hell.
Actually, I like the whole album.
Yeah, I do.
Lay down, stay down.
But I've been, funnily enough, when we were pulling together the playlist for this, I listened to a lot more of the album, you know. Because when I saw your list, I thought, oh man, this is fantastic what you're going to bring round, you know. It's absolutely fucking brilliant. And so many things that kind of, whoa, hang on a minute, you know, from that kind of time of,
yes,
when it really mattered, when stuff really mattered,
yes,
you know,
yes,
before this nonsense that we got now,
mm-mm, yeah,
things mattered,
and then it going on that nonsense.
Oh dear, nah, not good.
Oh well, there you are. Or we're just getting old.
No, we ain't. Drop me bloody tissue. Is that good or what?
Beautiful.
Great end.
Mm.
Great end. This is my contribution.
Oh, I'm with you.
Because this is trapeze.
This is trapeze, isn't it?
This is trapeze.
Yeah. Medusa?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wonderful album.
This is the 2 a.m. kind of track.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah.
Just right for this show.
Yes.
As time is getting on.
Yes, I know.
Weather is pulling in.
I know, and you've got that aftershave on, haven't you? And you've got a bird coming around, haven't you? I know you have. There's something going on. You haven't put it on for me, have you?
You think there's getting something going on? Nah, not with me. Well, man, it's been great to see you.
It's been great to see you.
Wonderful. And thanks so much for bringing your tracks along. And, you know, let's do it again soon, mate.
Let's do it again soon. I'll get suited to
my
another
special
cake.
Friend.
Oh, it's been great, mate. I love you. Lovely to see you.
You take care going back.
All right, mate.
See you later.
Enjoy.
A Night In is brought to you by Ashwood Music.